just like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When they thought Abu Bakr was too strong of a believer, that one time Allah escalated the Prophet ﷺ from Mecca to Jerusalem to Mount of Seven Skies, and back before his death was any less warm than he left there. Same temperature. So Abu Bakr was in the outskirts of Mecca and he didn't know what's going on, so they ran to Abu Bakr. He said, Abu Bakr, you know what your friend's doing now? He said, what? He said, he claims he left from Mecca to Jerusalem, which back then was a month worth of journey, to the top of seven skies and met Allah and messengers and came back and his bed is as warm as he left it. Abu Bakr looked at him, says, if he said that, then that's true. That's a belief. You speak the imanity. It's the imanity. Like many. You're going to have a baby. You're not going to have a husband. But you're going to have a cow. That's it. Allah said it. The imanity. The next one who asked this question is after she got pregnant. Baby. It's going to show up. A man noticed her, which was her cousin. He was also a caretaker of Bayt al-Maqdis. His name was Yusuf al-Najjar. He noticed her. Weeks went on, months went on, he kept it silent. It got a bit too obvious. He said, I got to talk to Maryam. He said, Maryam, I want to ask you something, but don't get mad. She said, go ahead, Yusuf, but speak politely. He is someone who knows what Maryam's about. She couldn't have committed some kind of sin like this. However, he's the type who gives a bit more leverage to mental thinking than to Imam. He said, Maryam, does grass or plant or tree grow without water? She said, yes. He said, how? She said, who brought the first tree or the first drop of grass, or the first plant? Allah did it by His order, be and it was done. He said, Maryam, can a baby be conceived without a husband? She said, yes. He said, how? She said, the same way Allah created Adam without a father and a mother, the same way Allah can create a baby without a husband. He said, Allahu Akbar, I believe in Allah. I believe. The type of questioning he did was a questioning when he gave more leverage to thinking and thought and mental rationalization than iman. However, he has a lot of faith. However, just a little bit of all. And he believed in Allah. He walked away, believing in Allah, and he said, I believe you. The third way this question was being answered was by the Jews. When she carried the baby and came back, and the Jews met her, they seen her, and they began to accuse her. He said, Maryam, you left a gift to Jesus for you. Maryam, you don't even want to hear your explanation. You just something told you. These are arrogant people. These are people who disbelieve in Allah and mock Allah. She knew what kind of people they were. And the answer to these people is silence. That's why Allah in the Quran says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. So, three answers to one question. How could the Maryam get birth? Jibreel tells her, Allah said so. Allah said, that's it. How, why, but, no, they're going to do this, they're going to talk. No. Allah said so, period. Because Maryam's a believer, Siddiqa. The second one we have is Yusuf al-Najjar. He gave her some kind of questions as to how that's possible. And she answered them, he then believed. The third one is the arrogant, disbelieving people who are really like donkeys. No belief, no iman, no materialistic proof could ever get them to provide to believe. These are people, the best way to treat them is the answer to it, silence, salam, goodbye. How did Maryam get pregnant? There's two verses in the Quran that say, فنفخنا فيها من روحنا with you into her our before. فنفخنا فيه من روحنا with you into her womb the soul. And what it means and how it was done, as we know from the hadith, is that Jibreel blew into the opening by her neck, the opening of her dress by her neck. He blew into that, and that blow, by the will of Allah, went into her private part that caused the birth or the pregnancy of Isa alayhi salam. This is by the will of Allah, you know. Allah, the one who created the sky and the earth and the drops of snow and the rain so easily, the one who gives you the day and the night, the one who takes your soul at night and brings it back, the caretaker of all that, every single grass out there, drop of grass by his creation, every single drop of leaf, imagine that. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Imagine that. Imagine that Allah says in the Quran, not a single drop of leaf except that Allah knows about it. You know that? If you, Allah, you yourself cannot even keep up with the drop of leaf, that drop in your own backyard. Not even your backyard. If you got a lot of flowers in your house, you can't even keep up with how many drops of, how many leaves you drop over there. Yeah, Allah knows. Imagine, just look at a forest and look at it and flow when all the leaves are falling down. And know that Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَفْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. The one who did all that, the one who created the sky without anything to hold it up, the mighty one, Allah, simple by a woman with a baby. She's now pregnant. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says that Maryam and her sister, who's her sister? Her sister is Zakariya's wife. They used to meet together. Yahya is the mother of Yahya, meaning the wife of Zakariya, because Zakariya is Abu Yahya, the father of Yahya. So Yahya and Isa, Isa is Maryam. Yahya is Zakariya's wife. Yahya and Isa mean, and Yahya tells Isa that my stomach bows to what's in your stomach. He got pregnant nearly during the same time. The two sisters got pregnant together, and they used to sit together, and Yahya tells her, what's in my stomach when you sit? I feel that he bows to what's in your stomach. And back then, bowing to another person in respect was permissible. In our Sharia, one of the details that the Prophet Muhammad came with is that's prohibited. You can't bow down to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Back in Yusuf's time, he bowed to the family when they came to meet him, they bowed down to him. That was a form of greeting, like giving salam and shaking hands. It was a form back then. Now it's haram. He says, what's in my stomach bows to what's in yours. These are the miracles that happened during the pregnancy of Isa and Yahya. Yahya also says, the only time or the most common time that Yahya would be in my stomach is when he would be, when I would be sitting with you, Isa. These are miracles of two messengers communicating with each other. In fact, Isa, it's narrated that Isa used to speak to his mother when he was in his stomach. And when he wasn't speaking to her, he would be praising Allah to the point that she would hear. This is in his stomach. Now it's time to give birth. She knows about time to give birth. Some scholars say it was 7 months, 8 months, or 9 months she was pregnant. The most authentic narrations we have is that it was a normal pregnancy of 9 months. So she takes herself and walks away to a far away place. Allah said in the Quran,
فحملت حبًا تبدت به مكانًا قصيًا.
About to give birth, she walks away to a far away direction. Why did she go far away? When she needs the help of others in pregnancy? Because she knows who surrounds her. She knows what type of people they are. And if she gives pregnancy over there, add to the agony, pain, physical agony, pain of giving birth, they're going to mentally torture at that time. She doesn't need to put up with two problems at the same time. Let her put up and finish the problem, the physical problem and agony of giving birth. Then she can deal with those arrogant people who she knows very well what they're going to do and what they're going to accuse her. She knows those people are the people who tell Allah, The only way we believe in you, Allah, is Arina Allah Jahra. They told Musa, Arina Allah Jahra. If we see Allah physically, then we believe in Allah. They're the ones who were lost for 40 years because of a sin they committed, and Allah provided them within those years with the best of food. Any kind of food that they wanted, the best of all food, Allah brought them. But they were arrogant enough to say, we want them. Imagine that. Allah gives them the best food, and they want them. They're the ones who said, Allah's hand is cheap. So if they talk and transgress their boundaries like that to Allah, what are you going to do with this poor innocent woman who's going to conceive this child without a father? What are they going to say in a few of them? She heads to that faraway direction. In that faraway direction, Qasidiya is what we know today in Palestine as Beit Lahan. She gets the moment of giving birth near the branch of a palm tree. And why she gets it near the branch of a palm tree? Because you know, when you go to the hospital these days, a woman goes to give birth, you tell the husband who's standing there waiting for his son, some hold the right hand because she's going to push and she's going to, you know, have to squeeze and she wants to hold a hand that will ease it up a little bit. So Allah puts next to her a branch of a tree. That's one of the benefits of it. Another one is going to come in a few verses coming up. During giving the birth, she grabs onto that branch of a tree as she's given birth. Al-maqab means the pain in giving birth. فَأَجَاءَ الْمَقَابُ إِلَى جِزْعِ النَّحْلَ. Here, the Qur'an sort of seems to skip that Maryam gave birth. It goes on to talk about the moments before birth, and it skips the fact that she did give birth. Why is that? And it's really obvious. Because that matter's obvious. Something so obvious, Allah walks in a chain of a story and goes all the way to her about to give birth and then jumps to her after giving birth. Meaning she gave birth. It's obvious. If something other than that happened, Allah would have told us. So Allah skips over that part because the Quran is so eloquent. And putting someone thing like that so obvious in the Quran would have made it, would have taken, took out, out from the eloquency of the Quran. After she gives birth, she says, قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِيْتُ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًّا مَنْسِيًّا. I wish I died before this and I was something forgotten. Nasya mansiya, mansiya is something so small and disregarded. Means she says, Aisha was something so small, a piece of trash or something, that was disregarded. Some scholars said, nasya mansiya is the tab that a woman puts on herself when she gets her period and throws away. She says, I wish I was a disregarded object just like that. You know, it's something disregarded and thrown away, and you never go back to it again. You never tell her, I threw it out, I want to go back and check it out. No, it's something thrown out and disregarded. She said she got to the point of saying, I wish I was that. Why she said that? For many reasons. Not that she's complaining about what's happening to her, but rather for that she's going to become a fitna. She's going to become something that people are tested with. Something that people are going to go to hell and heaven with. She's going to be accused or being said that she's the daughter, she's the mother of Allah. Or actually in reality what boils down to this, the wife of Allah. And that's going to cause people to go to hell for you. She didn't want people to go to hell for you because of her. And she's also going to be a cause of another category to go to hell for you. People who accuse her of adultery or of fornication. Another reason is because she knows her honor is going to be attacked. And a woman whose honor is going to be attacked holds this matter in high regard. How could my honor be attacked? A decent, honorable woman would rather have her life be taken away than her honor being talked about or transgressed. Some say, this is the third opinion, and it's a long opinion, that she raised her head to the sky after giving birth, and she's seen that she will be worshipped instead of Allah, and she's seen in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the book that Allah wrote everything in, that she will be worshipped instead of Allah, and that's a false reason. The point boils down to that when one is in a situation where he fears a child's tribulation may take its toll on them, or they will not be able to withstand it, then they can ask Allah to be their lives be taken away prior to that. And it's something that Umar radiallahu anhu said, and it is something that the Prophet used to say in his dua, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةً فَاقْدُرْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرَ مَفْتُونٍ. If you want to test people, then take my soul prior to me being tested, if I'm going to fail the test. At that point when she says that,
فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي.
She gets a call from under her.
أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي.
Don't be sad. Don't be depressed. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا, from under her. تَحْتِهَا in Arabic means under her. And under in Arabic means as well, something a lot of people don't know, it means as well in front and behind. Tacht and fold, the same way they mean above and below, they mean in front and behind. She gets a call from in front of her, min tahtiha, alla tahzani. Don't be sad, don't be depressed. And the one who said that was, according to some narrations, Jibreel, and others, it was that beautiful young boy that she gave birth to, Isa alayhi salam. La tahzani, don't be sad, don't be depressed. Don't be mad that people are going to talk about your honor. Don't be worried that you will not be able to fulfill your responsibility of our obligation in this message that Allah chose you for. And a reason for you not to be mad is there's a sariya right there in front of you. What's a sariya? It's spring of pure water. You probably live in this country, most of this country is not available. I remember overseas, there was places where a stone would rot out water. Just out of a stone. Wallah. And you take out of it. I remember in Jordan, I was once in an area where we went out, and they told me that there's a stone that comes out of that water. And it wasn't a lot. It sounds a lot, but it wasn't a big pond or something, it was pretty small. And I would say, you push that water away, and it keeps coming out, and it keeps coming out, and it keeps coming out. That's exactly what Allah is telling her here. فَجَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيْهِ. A beautiful, that water was so pure, it says it was coming out of the faucet. فَجَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيْهِ. And after that,
وَمُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزَعٍ نَحْلَةِ تُفَاطِقَ عَلَيْكِ رُضَبًا جَنِيًّا.
Okay, you know that branch of the palm tree that you are under? Shake it. Shake it. This woman is about to give pregnancy or in the process of pregnancy. How? You want me to shake it? And you need 3-4 days to shake it. You know when dates go on the tree, it takes way more than that, 3 days to shake it. Actually, the only way to do it is if you grab it and pull it away. And it's, the branches are very strong and thick. However, Allah tells this weak woman, shake it, and he's trying to teach us a lesson. Meaning nothing comes just like that, you have to go through the means. Allah provides, but you have to do the means. Because one time, the Prophet was entering the mosque to pray, the masjid. And he seen a man over there, leaving his camel astray, and walking into the masjid. The Prophet said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm depending on Allah. Meaning, I'm going to go pray, and come on, I'm going to find his camel. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, اَعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. Tie that camel, then go depend on Allah. That tie, maybe the rope is about to be cut. No problem. As long as you did something that was in your means and capability, then that's it. Don't sit and say, the sky is going to drop gold and silver on me, and you're sitting at home. Go work, and then ask Allah to be rich. Go and do the means. Even if it's simple, all what you get, and leave the rest to Allah. That's what Allah said to each of us over there. وَهُزِّ إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Shake that branch of the tree, تساقط عليك is gonna drop down upon you رطبا جليا fresh date. Most people don't know that date that you see the summer prior to them getting the state that you see the most is the date, the mushy date. Prior to that, they are very green and sour. And they taste actually very good at that point. And that's what's called in Arabic balak. Summer is when they get to the stage, the brownish stage and mushy stage, where they're sweet. Earlier before that, it's balak. And balak is very famous in Arabic countries, and probably in this country we don't see it because we don't see the dates at that early stage. But they taste very good. And it says medically, I read it, that that is one of the things that people should, I read in an Egyptian newspaper, one of the things that pregnant women, during their pregnancy, not after their pregnancy, should eat a lot of, because it helps in that stages medically to a woman. So it drops down all around her. Fresh date. In its early stages, Allah then tells her,
فَقُلِي
Eat, Maria. Eat from the date.
وَشْرَبِي
And drink. Drink from that water that we provided for you, that spring water we provide for you.
وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا فَقُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا
قَرِّي عَيْنَا means, if you ask a lot of the fathers, most if not all, the fathers and mothers, what was one of the best times of their life, they would tell you, when my wife gave birth to her son, and the wife when I gave birth to my son. That's a special moment. When you see a baby, something by the will of Allah, and through you was a living human being on this planet, it's something that makes your heart tingle and melt. That sight itself is what Allah is telling Maryam. Pleasure your eyes and pleasure your heart with the sight of that new being in front of you. وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا
فَإِنَّا تَرَيْنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا
Now we go back to that third question. Those ignorant people that are going to come to you, if you see any of those people, وَقُولِي Those arrogant human beings that are going to accuse you, if you see any human being, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا I fast to Allah some time. Back then, when Zakariya and Maryam started prior to that, fasting from talking was like fasting from food for us. They had it as part of their belief. It's also one of the details that Islam came and abolished, and we no longer do it. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walked upon his wife one time, and he asked her, why isn't she talking? She said, I'm fasting from talking. He told her, we have been deterred from that. When he says, we have been deterred, that Abu Bakr doesn't say that, it's from himself, radiallahu anhu, it's something he heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, was talking to two people one time, out of town. And one of the two people was refusing to talk to Ibn Mas'ud and get involved in the communication. So I asked his friend, what's wrong with your friend? He said, he's fasting from talking to people. Ibn Mas'ud said that that was for women, for a woman in a specialty to her or during her time, and it's not from our Sharia, not to fast from talking. So something abolished now. Now no one can come here and tell me, well, I'm fasting from talking and I want to do it. No, you can't do that. If you want to say something evil, you be quiet. However, it's not considered fasting from talking as Allah ordered Maryam to do. So she did to fast or ordered to fast for 3 days. فَلَمْ تُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا Now she comes back to Jerusalem, to Bayt al-Maqdis.
فأتت به قومها تحمله.
She comes to her people carrying. They were looking for her during that period when I told you she left. How long was it? According to most narrations, that was 40 days long. She's gone for 40 days. Everyone wants to look and find out where she was. She comes approaching Jerusalem. And they're out in the outskirts of Jerusalem looking for her, and she's carrying a baby in her hand. What's the first thing they say?
قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا.
مريم, it is something so big, so huge, astonishing, amazing. How could you do that huge thing? فريا, something huge, the worst thing anyone can do.
يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا.
مريم, they don't say مريم, they're evil people. Look what they say. Oh, you sister of هارون. They say, oh, you sister of هارون. Because someone could say, you know, and they use this against us. How could someone tell her, oh, you sister of Harun, when Harun was hundreds of years. Harun, the brother of Musa. How could they tell her, oh, you sister of Harun, when Harun was hundreds of years before her. Musa and Harun were hundreds of years before Medina. The answer to that was by Mughira bin Shu'bah. He went to people of Najran who were Christians, and they asked him that same question during the Prophet's time. So Mughira bin Shu'bah didn't know the answer to that. He went back to the Prophet Muhammad and said, they're telling me there's a contradiction in the Quran and that Harun was in during her time. So how could they have told her? Only to serve Harun. And the Prophet told him, they used to name each other by the names of the pious people. Like me, I'm named after the Prophet Muhammad. One of his names is Ahmed. And I'm how many years? 1,400 years after that. So they used to name their children after the pious people before, and they believed in the message of Allah Harun, and they used to name their children Harun, just like Jews do today. So the answer to that is that she had a brother after her sister, which is Yahya. She had another brother named Harun. That's what some scholars say. Some scholars say that they had a pious person that time who was called Harun. He's very, very pious, a knowledgeable, pious person. And they said, oh, you sister, you're supposed to be like the Harun we have over here, and that's how you're supposed to be like. And that's how you were like. How could you learn that? And some say, they're telling her, oh, you sister of Harun, meaning you're like Harun, the messenger of Allah that was hundreds of years before, that messenger of Allah hundreds of years before, you're like him in being pious and being religious and protecting and guarding yourself from sin. How could you have done this? Basically, what they're trying to tell her, that mental problem. Oh, you supposedly pious woman, مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ مْرَأَةً. Your father was not an evil man, and your mother wasn't a prostitute. How could you have, Maria? They indirectly accused him. This goes to the issue of is indirect accusing a reason for someone to be within Islam. For example, then during Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu's time, there was a situation raised to him. It was a man told another one during the course of an argument, my mother isn't a prostitute and she never committed adultery. So they went to Umar. They said, what do you think about that? And Umar took it for face value, you know, that he's just saying my mother's a prostitute. Other Sahaba said that no, this is accusing someone innocent, and someone who says it in the course of an argument should be there. It's not like saying it while you're not arguing. You're saying with someone arguing, what you're telling them? My mother is in a prostitute, meaning your mother is a prostitute. What they did during that time, the Sahaba decided that if it's in the course of an argument, it's considered accusing someone innocent, just for saying your mother committed adultery. If not, then it's taken for its state, value and meaning. Over here, one of the proofs that adds that it could be termed used to accuse someone is because Allah said about their word over here when they said, hey Maryam, you committed something huge. Oh Maryam, oh you sister of Harun, your mother wasn't a prostitute and your father wasn't an evil man. How could you have? Allah later on in verse says, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. And because of their kufr, And there's this belief, and they're singing upon Maryam something very huge. Even though they're evil, they never directly said, Maryam, how could you sleep with another guy? Allah calls the kufr, wa fi kufrihim, wa qawlihim ala Maryama buhtanan azima. They torment her. They terrify her. They terrorize her. Maryam, how could you have done it?
فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا.
She points to that infant in her arms. And what the Arabic people say, there was a moment of silence after the poignant and before Isa alayhi salam spoke. They say, ah, Maryam, you're so sinful that you got nothing to say in your defense. You know. And at that point, the baby says, infant, whose day is old,
قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا.
You're so simple, you can't even talk, you point to a baby. How can we speak to someone who's in a crib? In Mahd, the Mahd means someone who's breastfeeding and must be carried, a toddler, the baby speaks.
قال إني عبد الله قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرًا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارًا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا.
He says, I'm Abdullah. This is the verses that made Najashi cry when the Sahaba were persecuted in Africa. The Prophet ﷺ said, go to Najashi in Ethiopia, he will not persecute anyone. And the Quraysh sent among their leaders, Amr ibn al-As before his Islam, because he was eloquent, and they went there, and the one speaking in opposition to Amr ibn al-As was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. They asked him questions, and one of the questions asked him, what did that say about Isa? He said, we believe he's a servant of Allah and a messenger of Allah. And he recited these verses to him. قال إن عبد الله, they made the Najashi cry to the point that his beard soaked with tears, and these are what caused him to become a believer. He's among those who believe that Isa was a messenger of Allah. He is among the ones, he said, when we hear these verses, wallahi, what you say is just exactly what's in the Torah, like this. It was a little branch or something in front of him, a little stick. He said, meaning it's so straight, according to the Torah, as straight as this branch that is in front of me. Isa starts with, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, I am the first slave of Allah. When he says, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, he's trying to tell people, I am the slave of Allah. Because it's the honorary place and position to be when you are the slave of Allah. Because a slave of Allah cannot be a slave of anything else. A slave of Allah cannot be a slave of anything else. Once you're a slave of Allah, you're independent of being any slave of anything else. And Allah only said about the Prophet Muhammad in areas where he gave him the best of all things, he says he is a servant of Allah. For example, when he took him on a journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, it's a special to the Prophet. One of the best things that happened in his life. What does Allah describe the Prophet Muhammad as? Glory to Allah, the one who migrated his slave from Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. So here, he says, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. And he's trying over here to remove what they're going to think about him as being the son of Allah. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Because if you get people to believe that he's a slave of Allah, implies you within that, they're going to believe his mother is innocent. When you remove what they think about Allah, the Creator, implies you within that, what they say about his mother is going to be removed as well. آتاني الكتاب. He gave me the book. He said he gave me the book. وجعلني نبيا. He made me a messenger. This is a boy in his mother's arm, days old, saying, Allah gave me the book. What book are we talking about here? Of course it's the Torah. However, did he get the book at that time? Was he messenger at that time? No. How could he say so? The answer to that is because when you know something is imminent and sure going to happen, then it's as though it happened. Allah describes the judgment day as though it came. If the judgment day comes, woo, to live it. Allah in the Quran says, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوا. The judgment day has come. Then he says, don't rush it. How could Allah say, it came and don't rush it? It's so imminent that it's going to come that Allah says it already came. If you know something, and it's going to come for sure, then that's it. That's like me telling someone comes and asks me for a favor. And he says, oh brother, can you do this one? I tell him, you know what, you got it. It's going to take days for him to get it. But I say, you got it. It's so sure that it's going to happen to you, you're going to get it, that it's as though you got it. Then he says, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَهَا كُنْتُ. Abdullah, I'm the servant of Allah, slave of Allah. أَتَانِي الْكِتَابِ. He gave me the book. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He made me a prophet. And وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا. He made me blessed. أَيْنَهَا كُنْتُ. How did he make him blessed wherever he is? He made him blessed wherever he is because he was always teaching the right path and guiding people to the correct and true path. He ordained the good and forbid the evil. That's a blessing to humanity. Also, his blessing in curing the ill and bringing back health to those people and showing miracles of Allah to those people. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. And Allah ordered me with the prayer and zakat, مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. He showed you the importance of prayer. أَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ, meaning he ordered me with prayer and zakat. And zakat is to give charity to the poor. مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا, as long as I'm alive. As you know, they have prayer, different than our prayer. But in the end, it was only for the sake of Allah. And zakat, they have zakat, a little bit different in detail than our rules and regulations, but they have zakat as well. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي. And I come as well to treat my mother and make it easier upon her, and I'm not an evil doer. At the end he says, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. Peace be upon me, the day I was born, the day I will die, and the day I will be resurrected and come back alive. So Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, says, the scholar says, he says, a person is a stranger and needs others and peace the most in key points of his life. When he's born, and he comes from a different world in his mother's stomach to this world. And when he's dead in his grave, and he's alone, he needs the company of others, he needs peace. And the third point is when you're resurrected out of this earth to stand before Allah. Those are the three most points of anyone's life where he needs peace. And that's why he chose out of all his life those three moments. Peace be upon me from Allah, the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I'm resurrected. Isa, he describes in the Quran by many different terms, and some of them may cause confusion to Muslims, especially by those who want to create doubts in the hearts of the Muslims. For example, in the Quran, Allah calls him Ruhullah. And they say, in Arabic, literally that means the soul of Allah. And they say, since he's the soul of Allah, he's part of Allah, then he is the son of Allah. The answer to that is when you combine the soul to Allah, it's a combination to place honor in that person. For example, what do we call masjid? Us Muslims call mosque house of Allah. Does Allah live in that house? is just a term used to add honor to that place. The same way we say Ka'batullah. Is that Ka'bah part of Allah? But we say, and we attribute it to Allah. The answer to that is Ruhullah means a soul from Allah. It was added, the soul was added to Allah to add honor to Isa alayhi salam. It's what we call in Arabic, Ibaqatu Tashriq. Another term used to describe Isa in the Quran and the Sunnah is Ruhul Min, a soul from him. The answer to that is that it's from Allah. The creator of that soul is Allah. Not that the soul is part of Allah. There was a khalifa in the past that was debating Christians, and they got to the point, they said, well, verse Islam, but you have to tell us, why is the Quran, you guys claim that he's a soul from Allah, soul of Allah. And they told him the Arabic word, ruhan min, a soul of Allah. We take it to mean a soul from Allah. But it could mean what they said. And the answer to that puzzled the Khalifa. So he asked the scholars around him, and said, answer them. And they told him, O Khalifa, Allah said in the Quran, وَتَخْسَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْ. The universe is of him, from him. So is the universe part of Allah? And they said, no. And they said, the same way that Allah uses the universe to mean of him, the same way he says, Isa is of him. Ruhun min. A ruh from him. A soul from him. A universe from him. And not necessarily part of him. Just like you don't say the universe is part of him, then the soul is not part of him. Another term used to describe Isa is Kalimatullah, the word of Allah. And that means, and that's described in a hadith of the Prophet said, من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله وكلمة ألقى إلى مريم وروح من والجنة حق والنار حق أدخله الله الجنة على ما كان من العمل. Whomever bear witness is that there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, and Isa is a messenger, is a slave, a messenger of Allah, and his word was put to Maryam, and a soul from him was placed, and Jannah is true, and Nar is true, Allah will let him enter heaven based upon the deeds that he has. So Kalimatullah means that he was created by a word from Allah. The word from Allah is be and it's done, kun fayakun. Another term used to describe Isa is the Masih. Why we call him Masih is because in Arabic we consider him Mamsuh al-Khilqa. He's a very handsome person. And when you're not handsome, it's in Arabic called Mamsuh al-Khilqa. Another reason why they say he's called al-Masih is because he does, Masih comes from the word Masih, which means wipe. And that means he didn't wipe out any illness except that it became cured. Now let's jump to the childhood and youth of Isa alayhi salam. We took, as you know, you're following along with us, we took the grandparents of Isa. We took the birth of Maryam and her days in Jerusalem. We took the birth of Isa alayhi salam, and now we take the childhood and youth of Isa alayhi salam. During his birth, a thing that happened was that they seen brightness from the area. When they were out searching for Isa alayhi salam, they seen a brightness coming from the area where Isa was born in. And the angels deterred them from that area so they will not harm Maryam or Isa alayhi salam. However, after the birth of Isa, just right after, the king of Persia asked or was told by the star readers and the fortune tellers that there's a messenger that was born. The same way they knew about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Exactly. The star, the fortune tellers who look in the sky and deal with jinn, they are able by the will of Allah to know some of the future through the evil jinn who tell them. So they were told that there's a messenger born. The king of Persia was told that there's a messenger born. So he sent a leader to the king and leader of Damascus, Sham, what we call a Sham, Today, Sham only refers to Syria and Damascus. However, back then, Sham was a term used to include Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, and Syria. All those were part of what we call a Sham. So he sent an area, a letter to the king over there. He said, was any one born there that had something unusual? King, in turn, sent a letter to Beit al-Maqdis, to the area of Jerusalem, to the governor there. And they said something astonishing and amazing happened, and it was a person who was born here without a father. So the king of Persia said, you must be killed. At that point, they began to seek Isaac to kill him, because they know, the leaders know, the kings know, when a man like that, a messenger of Allah like that comes, he's going to take their kingdom. It's scary for them. So Allah instilled in Maryam to travel to Egypt for safe refuge. Allah said in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبْوَةٍ ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ. We took them to a resort that was safe for them. In Egypt, they lived in a house of a very wealthy, pious, generous worshipper who took them in and spent upon them. He had a house that he kept the elders, the sick, the weak, people about to die. He took them all in. He fed them, he took care of them, he gave them water, because he was a pious man of his time. Once he had rolled on top of a wall, or near a wall, and that gold happened to get stolen. And so he gathered everyone in his house, his sherry house, said, who stole my gold? He wanted the entire group apprehended. And so they found out who stole his gold. After they dispersed, while the owner decided what to do, Isa told a blind and a paralyzed man, give the gold back, or something evil is going to happen to you. What happened, and Isa didn't see it, however Allah revealed it to him, was that the blind man raised the paralyzed man up to get the gold from on top of the wall and sold it. They told him, if you don't return it, something is evil is going to happen to you. They were amazed as to how Isa knew it. And they asked how. He said, Allah has taught me. Either do it or evil will happen to you. And he did it, and the gold was returned on top of the wall. He began revealing his message around the age of 30. And again, he started traveling in the towns of Sham, Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan. They asked him for a miracle. He said, you're a messenger? What's a miracle? Well, Allah revealed it in the Quran, وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. And Allah will teach him the book and wisdom and the law and the gospel. وَرَسُولًا إِلَىٰ بَنِ إِسْرَائِيلِ. And a messenger to the children of Israel, that I have come to you. أَنِّي جِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. I come to you with a sign and a miracle from your Lord. أني أخلق لكم من الطين كهيئة الطير فأنفخ فيها فيكون طيرا بإذن الله. That I blow into, I create from the clay and from the mud a shape of a bird, and I blow into it and it turns into a living bird after I blow into it, by the will of Allah. And I heal those who are blind and those who have skin diseases, and I awaken the dead, and I tell you what you eat and what you store in your houses. That is a sign for you if you believe. وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكُمْ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So, what is miracle? Allah taught him the law and the gospel. Not enough. Arrogant, stubborn people, not enough. Okay, bring it clay. They bring him clay. He makes the figure of a bird. He blows into that bird, and that bird flies away. That bird could be a pigeon or an owl or some kind of bird, and it flies away. Not enough. Okay, you guys are good in medicine. Back then they were great in medicine, and Allah always sends a miracle in a form that the people understand. Why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu has the Quran as a miracle? Because people were into poetry. Why Saleh has a miracle of a camel, a huge camel, they never seen something like it, because people were into farming. Why Musa was sent with the miracle of the stick that turned into a snake? Because people were into magic. And in this time, the number one thing they were into was medicine. They were advanced in medicine. And right after that was magic. So they were into medicine mostly and a little bit into magic. The leftover of what they had from the time of Isa of magic. Well, many into medicine. You guys are into medicine. You guys have blind people. When you reach a situation where you can't cure that blind person, bring them to me. By the will of Allah, notice how many times in that verse the will of Allah is mentioned. Ask every time, by the will of Allah. Don't think I did this on my own. It's Allah who gave me the power and will to do it. Anyone who's blind and you can't cure him, bring him out to me and I will cure him by the will of Allah. He touches him, and this is not like what you see on the TV shows or the Benny Hinn show or whatever. That's all foolish lies. And you know, I remember I heard of a documentary on 60 Minutes where they said they sent some of their paralyzed people to the Benny Hinn show and they kept pushing them away and disregarding them because those people who they are paralyzed or they claim are paralyzed are really walking people who they make a show for. And this person who his leg was paralyzed for 20 years and all of a sudden he's jumping up walking, and another one who hasn't left his wheelchair in 40 years and now he's walking, all that is life. But this was, he said, that was done by a miracle from Allah. He said, the blind bring him that you've given up hope on, I will cure him. One with a skin disease, skin rash disease that you can't cure, bring him by the will of Allah, will cure him. You have dead people. Let's go to the graveyard and we can bring one of those dead to come and live by the will of Allah. So they take him to the graveyard and they say, Isa, get this person out from his grave and let him speak to us and have his clothes on. And when he speaks to us, we'll decide after that if we're going to believe in you or not. So Isa, by the will of Allah, orders him out of the grave, and he comes out, and he said, why did you bring me back to this life? I don't want to be with you or this life. And you, O soul of Allah, return me back to my grave like you took me out. That's darak on me. And he made dua, and the person died, and was in place in his grave after that, and then he turns to them. Do you not believe? He says, we'll see about it. He goes in a time to the graveyard, and sees a woman crying, and he's crying over a grave. Isa said, what's wrong? She said, my daughter died, and she's buried here, and I've given an oath that either I die enjoying her, or she comes out. And he told her, you, if I allow her to come out of her grave, by the will of Allah, will you believe in me? She said, yes. And then he calls her, first time, second time, third time, and the girl comes out of her grave. He said, what took you so long? The girl said, the first time you called, I heard the call, and Allah recreated me from my physical format. The second shout, the call, the angel came over my head. The third call, when he shouted, the soul came back to me, and her hair was white because she had thought it was the judgment day. She said, oh mom, why did you bring me to be tormented with a second death? I want to go back where I was. The mom, in silence and astonished at what she's seeing, does not say a single word, and Isa alayhi salam makes dua, and the woman dies again and makes dua for her to ease her death agony, because that's what she asked Isa to do. In addition to those miracles, وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ. They don't believe it yet. They said, okay, look how stubborn and arrogant and stupid their questions are. They said, okay, Isa, now tell us, well, we're going home right now for dinner. What are we going to have for dinner in our house? He tells them, you're going to have chicken, you're going to have fish, you're going to have food. And he tells them exactly what they're going to have. And it turns out what they're going to have is right. Do you believe now? No. They don't believe. Okay? What do you guys want? He said, okay, Aisha, tell us what we got in our grocery room. وَوَنَفْزِيُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَتَسْتَخِرُونَ فِي. Foolish people. Arrogant. These are the people that you give them the silent treatment. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. What are we got in our grocery room? What are we got to put in our houses? And he tells them, you got this and you got that, and you know, this is what you're going to have for food. They say, okay, we'll think about it.
ومصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ويحل لكم بعض الذي حرم عليكم.
And another miracle from Allah to you is that I make permissible things for you that were haram upon the people before you, your ancestors. Because Bani Israel was so arrogant with Musa that a lot of things were haram. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ disturbed the Sahaba from excessively asking questions that may lead to the prohibition of things. Some things you ask about them in the Prophet ﷺ's life are halal. The origin of matter is halal. But if you ask the Prophet ﷺ, maybe a woman will come to haram. And the Prophet ﷺ describes someone who causes the ummah to be like that as one of the biggest sinners. Bani Israel used to be arrogant in that question. And because they were arrogant, Allah used to make a lot of things haram upon them. You know, one of the examples is in the Quran, the story of the cow. When Bani Israel had a dead person and they didn't know who killed that person, Allah said, kill that cow. Any cow. Go grab him and say, he said, what's that? Well, call it now. Well, this, it got to the point that they got to find the bright yellow cow. Kafra, Fata, and when are you going to do that? They were asking arrogantly, so Allah kept making it hard and hard and hard, and they fished until they find. Had they taken it easy upon themselves and accepted Allah's command, any cow, the first cow, they think would have been sufficient for them. Isa alayhi salam used to walk in the street, wait on the face of the ill people. They would be cured. If they had an eye, blind eye, they would be able to see by the will of Allah. Paralyzed, they would get out. Ear, they can't hear. He would wait on their ear, and by the will of Allah, they can see. And all that, of course, by the will of Allah. In reality, in his personal life, he was a very humble person. He would sleep anywhere. His clothing was of the cheap kind, which was back then of harsh wood. When he would remind a person of the life before, he would cry like a child. He would describe, after his da'wah, he was a very handsome man, very. That's why we say, Muhammad al-Masih. After his da'wah, his face complexion changed into yellow, and his lips were always described as very dry. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, the pages of Musa, Sahaf Musa, were revealed in one, the first day of Ramadan. The pages, the book of Torah was revealed in the sixth day of Ramadan. The book of Injil was revealed in the ninth day of Ramadan. The Zabur was revealed in the 18th day of Ramadan, and the Quran was revealed in the 27th day in Ramadan. His believers were among mostly the very poor in Musa of Bani Israel, as always the messengers believers are. The knowledgeable, the ones who were referred to as the writers, the high rank, they were not believers. Isa alayhi salam came to them with many messages. The most important one is with the oneness of Allah, and that he's a messenger sent by Allah. Another one of those is that he was a messenger sent. Part of his message, believe it or not, is to tell people that I have come to you, to the children of Bani Israel, with the news that there was a messenger after me named Muhammad. That's why in Medina, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just before he was sent out, the Jews in Medina used to tell the Aus and the Khazraj, the other tribes, which were not Jews, just wait until our Prophet comes. Believe it or not, they were talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to scare the Aus and the Khazraj. That's why the Aus and the Khazraj, as soon as the Prophet came about, they believed in him. Before the Jews, they said, let him be on our side. And when the Jews got the message, and they seen the stars that he was born, Allah said in the Quran, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. When that which they knew, and they knew was true, came, they disbelieved in it. They used to threaten the Aus and the Khazraj that this way into our Prophet comes, meaning Muhammad. When he came, they disbelieved in it. So part of the message of Isa alayhi salam was to tell them there's a messenger coming to you named Ahmad. Ahmad, as you know, is the name of the Prophet Muhammad in the sky. He said, my name in the earth is Muhammad, and I'm referred to in the sky as Ahmad. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Isa said to them, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I am the messenger of Allah, all you children of Bani Israel. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ. I come to continue on within the Torah, ومبشرا برسول. And give you the good news and tidings of a messenger coming after me named Ahmad.
فلما جاءهم بالبينات, when he came to them with the signs and miracles, قالوا هذا سحر مبين.
This is evil magic.
The curing of the dead, the awakening of the dead, and the bird that is made out of clay, and by the will of Allah he turns, has a soul and flies away, and all that,
سحر مبين. You're a black magic. You do black magic.
His main years of da'wah were 3 years, from when he was 30 to 33.
When someone comes with a belief at any time, in any place, he's persecuted also.
When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first got the message from Jibreel, and he went terrified to Khadija, she took him to her cousin, Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And when he told him what happened, Waraqa ibn Nawfal was among the few rare people who was still, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believing in the true message of Isa. That he is the messenger of Allah. So when they told them what happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that who came to you is the same one who came to Isa and to Musa. And if the day comes when your message continues, I will give you support and victory. Support and victory. Waraqa ibn Nawfal told him, they're going to oust you. He said, they're going to oust me. People love me here. Waraqa ibn Nawfal told him, no one comes with the truth. Do you come except if oppressed and persecuted? لم يأتي أحد بمثل ما جئت به إلا أوذي وأوذي. First and persecuted and out. This is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari.
When he's seen people ousting him and persecuting him and calling him a astaghfirullah bastard and accusing his mother of committing adultery and disbelieving in him,
he had a sort of another exactly like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam headed to Akbar. When all avenues were dead end to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he headed to Akbar. Isa alayhi salam in this area is known to today. So a lot of Christians in this area in Palestine, it's populated with Christians. And he went there and gave a speech to gain victory from those people. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in Akbar, to get victory from them. However, our Prophet was greeted with stones and shoes of the mentally ill and the children of Asaiah, and his slaves, they covered him, so the stones and rocks and shoes will fall upon him instead of the Prophet. The Prophet described it as one of the hardest days of his life ever. Now Isa got a different reaction in Al-Nasra, and the people, a lot of them, began to accept the message of Isa alayhi salam. That's why in Arabic we call the Christians Nasara, and it's mentioned in the Quran. It's either because they're attributed to that town, Al-Nasra, that's the great vast majority of those who believe in him were from, or another explanation to that is because when he gave the speech in that town, he said, Man Ansari ilallah. Man Ansari ilallah. The verses are, فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرُ. When the avenue closed on Isa, قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who's the one who's going to give me victory? أَنْصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who's going to give me victory? To Allah, and support to Allah. قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ. The disciples said, نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ. We're here for you. We're going to give you victory. آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. We believe in Allah, and you testify, and you are witness that we believe in Allah. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. They turn to Allah and say, O Allah, we believe in what He has revealed and told us, and what was revealed upon Him. آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنْزَلْتَ. وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. We follow this messenger. فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Allah write us among those who are witnesses. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ النَّاسِرِينَ. They conspired, the Jews conspired, and Allah conspired, and Allah is the best of all conspirers. Allah tells us, this is to them, people who are followers of the Prophet Muhammad, be those who give victory to Allah, the ones who are helpers of the messengers and of the true path, and spreading that true path. Be like those who give victory to Allah, كما قال عيسى بن مريم, like عيسى بن مريم said to the disciples, من أنصاري إلى الله, who are those who are going to give me victory to Allah, قال الحواريون, the disciples said, نحن أنصار الله, فآمن الطائفة, a group of those who were in الناصرة said they believe, وكفر الطائفة, and a large group disbelieved, فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم, we later gave victory and power to those who believe against their enemies, and they became the one who prevailed. Al-Hawariyun, the term Hawariyun, the disciples, is like what we would call the Muhajirin and the Ansar to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among those who believe, were people who just had this arrogance instilled in them. And it went to Isa alayhi salam, he said, Isa, after the assassin, as قال الحواريون, as Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يا عيسى بن مريم, هل يستطيع ربك, can Allah bring down a piece for us, and there's a surah in the Quran again back to this. هل يستطيع ربك أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء, a huge feast, a table with all kinds of food on it. قال اتقوا الله إن كنتم مؤمنين, said fear Allah if you believe it. They said, قالوا نريد أن نأكل منها, we want to eat from it. The reason Isa ibn Maryam told them to fear Allah is because anytime Allah sends a miracle and there's people who disbelieve in them, then Allah will curse them and doom them. Just like the time of people before, when Allah sent them the miracle and they did the physical miracle and they refused to disbelieve in it, Allah destroys them all. He said, fear Allah. قالوا نريد أن نأكل منها وتطمئن قلوبنا. وتطمئن قلوبنا means we want to be, we believe in you. We believe in you. We're your Hawaiian, we're your disciples. But we want to add assurance to our belief that you're the messenger of Allah. وتطمئن قلوبنا. وأنا أنا صدقتنا. We know that you're on the truth. ونكون عليها من الشاهدين. We want to see it come down. قال عيسى بن مريم. Oh Allah, Allahumma Rabbana, anzil, bring down a khanat, ma'idah, rafid, takoonu lana aidan li awwalina wa akhirina wa ayatan minki, be a feast for the first of us and the last of us, meaning it grows and stays on until the judgment day, and it stays on forever until the judgment day. And the angels bring it down. وَرْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, and provide for us, and you're the best of all providers. The table comes down with all kinds of food that one can imagine, and those who ask for it refuse to eat from it. They get a praise from the angels who bring it down, and they don't eat. The poor and the ones needing began to eat from it, and later on, one of the restrictions they have, the only restriction they have, is that you don't take any of this food to your houses to store. And they began to steal and take from it and store it in their houses. And that's when that group of people were transformed into monkeys and donkeys. Allah transformed those who disbelieved, who asked for the miracle, and they got it, and they disbelieved them into monkeys and donkeys. The Prophet ﷺ said, in one hadith, the worst of those punished in hellfire is Fir'aun and the ones who disbelieved in the feast in Isa after they seen the miracle of Allah, the feast. After Nasra, when his followers began to grow, alayhi salam, Isa's followers began to grow and grow, and of course leaders always feel a threat from a person of belief, especially when that is a revelation from Allah. Usually, anyone of principle is a threat to ruling party, let alone when that principle or mentality in belief and thinking is a revelation from Allah. Therefore, they decide it's time to kill him. The Jews and the Romans collaborate. It's actually the Jews
who instigate and push the Romans, who were the new leaders of Beit al-Maqdis in Palestine. They just had taken over Palestine and Beit al-Maqdis, so the Jews went to them to instigate and push them to kill Isa alayhi salam. To get them to agree to kill Isa, the Jews told the Romans that there's a man who's not of your religion, and he's gathering followers. If you leave him, then he's going to take over leadership of this country. And of course, the Romans, all they care about is power, and they don't want that to happen. So under persistent instigation from the Jews, they succumbed to kill Isa alayhi salam.
The Jews and Christians never got along, and they never get along. They hate each other. You know, in the movie, they tried not to make it apparent, and it wasn't probably really apparent as to who the ones who instigated were, and those who were laughing when the supposed Isa that they claim, as we'll get to inshallah, was being tortured and oppressed. The Jews and Christians never get along. In fact, when Isa alayhi salam liberated Beit al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, and he got the keys, the Christians were oppressed by the Jews, and the Jews were oppressed, they were at each other's throats. And Islam came and stopped that mockery. In fact, some of the holy monuments to the Jews were trashed, and Umar spent days from morning till night cleaning it up for the Jews. The Sahaba was cleaning it because it was trashed by the Christians and they weren't allowed to practice their belief. Umar came and gave each religion their freedom to worship in their sacred places. Their trash, their places, holy monuments in Palestine were trashed by the Christians. Umar and the Sahaba themselves cleaned it with themselves. The Muslims cleaned it and they gave them their rights. So the Christians and the Jews are always at each other's throats because the Christians claim that the Jews are the ones who killed their prophet. And you know what? That's not true, as Muslims believe. But now you see them united, and you see the Pope now recanting and apologizing for statements he said in the past, or the church has made in the past, and you recant it now. And the reason is, let me give it to you an example, because when you see a fox in a fox, or a prey in a prey, those two preys always fight each other. They're at each other's throat. Let those two foxes see a little animal or a prey, one kills it. Those two join forces and go and kill that prey and eat it together and enjoy their meal together and then come back. When they're done, they start bickering at each other.